Blessing. Amen. That reminded me of some of the songs I've heard Brother Roloff sing. That wasn't one of his songs, is it? Pastor BJ? Brother Roloff, do you know? Okay. Have you ever heard Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff sing? Any of you? He's not the greatest singer, but he's got a song, amen. Now, I shouldn't, that coming from me is not much because I can't sing, right? But Brother Roloff sung a lot of scripture songs, and if you've never heard anything by Brother Lester Roloff, you ought to look him up. But anyway, I'm going to get into the message. I do want to say a word about Brother Dameron's presentation. He used some words that we're not familiar with around here. QR code. How many of you know what that is? All right. That's good. Over half, right? Amen. We're stepping it up, right? The reason I said that, Brother Dameron, we're getting ready to do our first sign-up sheet here at the church with a QR code. Yeah, we're getting ready to sign up for our fellowship that's coming up in for 4th of July, and we're going to be test running a QR code. We'll see how that goes. We're going to take the old school sign-up sheet in the back of the auditorium, and we're going to give you a QR code to link to your phone and sign up for that. And so it is a need in our churches. I say that to say that I think we all realize if the Lord tarries, that's the direction we're going. And in some ways, it makes life easier, and it makes ministry more effective. Things that we can do in ministry, it helps us to be more effective. And so I thought that was great, and I look forward to just seeing what God does in the future. That name, I don't know, how many of you ever heard of the Stensis family? Was I the only person? The Stensis family, that's the first time I heard that name in a couple of years. The Stensis are legends in Uganda. I believe Brother Stensis is a second generation missionary, and they're giving me the nod of correct, that is correct. And if you don't know about the Stensis family, you should look them up. They've done a great work. God's used them in Uganda in a mighty way. And so that was just a blessing to see how they were involved in that. I'm just rambling, trying not to get into my message tonight. And so y'all just bear with me. We're going to get there, I promise. We're in Matthew chapter number 7. And I want to start out tonight by saying that I'm beginning to feel like the boy that cried wolf. You ever heard the story about the boy that cried wolf? It got to the point where people didn't even take him serious anymore. I'm starting to feel that way as I go through the Sermon on the Mount, because each week I feel like I say, this is a hard text to preach, and evidently I'm not looking ahead and realizing what's coming up. And honestly, had even I looked ahead, I don't know that I would have saw what was on the horizon. Before I began to study Matthew chapter 7, verse number 6, I probably thought on the surface that I knew what it meant. And that may be what it means, and I'm gonna give that to you here in a moment. But I did not realize the I don't want to say controversy, but the difficulty with Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 until I began to study it. So much so that I wanted to skip it. But I just that's not in me, and I want to know what the Bible says, and so I began to really dig in, and I'm just gonna tell you, you may not believe me when I get done. But I have spent hours, and I mean hours is an understatement, on preparing for this message tonight on just one verse of Scripture, trying to figure out what was Jesus saying. And so I want to try to give you some things that I believe Jesus was saying. But as I do, I do want to mention this. One man said about this verse that we're looking at, I texted this to Pastor Brandon yesterday, and I said, I felt God when I read that. I felt the Holy Spirit stirring on the inside when I read this in a commentary. One man said about this verse that it's the most difficult text in the gospel. I thought, man, I'm feeling what he's putting down, right? And to some of you, that means nothing, because you may not have got into this text and studied out what all it says, but I'm going to give you some things in a minute. That same man stated that this verse is a puzzle, was his words. I wrote it down here. And so I'm going to do something tonight that I don't know that I've ever done, and hopefully I'll get another opportunity to preach afterwards. I'm going to give you more than one interpretation of a passage of Scripture, okay? So I'm going to give you two interpretations tonight of this passage of Scripture. Now, don't get scared, okay? I can see it in some of your faces. You're like, we're going to be here a while. No, I promise you we're not going to be here a while, right? But I'm going to give you two interpretations tonight on this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to let Pastor clean it all up at the end, all right? So he's going to come, and he's going to clean up everything that I say after I get done saying it. Y'all lighten up a little bit and laugh with me. Good night. I'm nervous enough. Thank you. Pastor Brandon said, come on. Do I need to get Brother Green to come up here and sing for y'all? I can get him up here singing Rock of Ages if that'll help lighten things up around here, right? But so we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 7. And the first thing I want to give you is the classic interpretation, or the interpretation that is most classic. It's the one that most people will use. If you began to study Matthew chapter number 7, this is the most classical interpretation that you'll find of this verse of Scripture. Now, it comes in many different forms, but it is the most classical one in that the majority of people will say something along the lines of what I'm about to teach you. And that is this, that Jesus has just taught about judging, as we looked at last week. And I'll mention that here in a moment near the end of my message. But Jesus has just got done teaching in verses 1 through 5 on judging, right? And we talked about that last week. And basically, it is as if he is saying to these people that they're not to be reckless in their judgment. There are some people that you must exercise discernment with. So that's the classical interpretation of this passage of Scripture, that many people would say that Jesus has just got done teaching on judging people, and we talked about that, and he's saying, now, in that we're not to judge, look at verse number 1, judge not that ye be not judged. And we talked about that last week, what Jesus was teaching, that he went on in verse number 5, and he told them, now don't be reckless in this teaching of not being judgmental, because it's very important that you don't be reckless in that, and you exercise discernment in that. There's some things that you need to judge, and we talked about that last week. And so, and Jesus here in verse number 6 is talking about judging hogs and dogs, right? He said the swine in verse number 6, and he said the dogs, right? He said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, and that's the hogs, right? And so Jesus says, you know, there's some people and some situations in which you need to exercise discernment. And many people believe that these hogs and these dogs would be representative of people who are enemies of the cross. Now, personally, I believe that is a correct interpretation. I think I could take you to numerous passages of Scripture that will back up what that interpretation says, and that is that people that are enemies of the cross are known as dogs in the Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 2, I think it is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul was writing that church of Philippi, and he said to them, beware of dogs, right? Beware of the concision. He said, there's people, and these dogs, you got to understand, these dogs that he's talking about are not, they're not like the dogs in our day, or maybe not like the dogs in our culture, right? We went to Honduras on a missions trip a couple years ago, and Brother Allen and I seen some dogs that I believe he's talking about, right? They're scavengers. They just roam the streets looking for something to eat. And we were in Honduras. Some of those dogs, I mean, they were, the hair was off the side of them, and they had mange, and they were just looked almost as if they were rabid animals. And I remember that the missionary we were there with, he said, don't pet the dogs, okay? He said, he tells all the Americans that come to the mission field, one of the first instructions he gives them, I believe Dr. Waller actually went over it with us before we ever got in the country. That was one of the things he told us. Don't pet the dogs, okay? It's not Fluffy, okay? It's not Toto, your little friendly dog, right? He said, stay away from them. And Brother Allen, any of you that know Brother Allen, he was right at home in that environment, right? And so I'm just playing. Brother Allen has a dog. Y'all, see, y'all, somebody's going to turn Brother Allen into the, to what is the animal activist? That's going on right now. I mean, there's some politicians, like, you know, getting in trouble for never mind, we'll get out of politics, right? But you got to be careful about making statements about dogs, right? But anyway, that's not the dog. They're talking about dogs that are scavengers. They're like wolves. They travel in packs, and they're just looking for something to eat, looking for something that they can just get a hold to. And so when he talks about dogs, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about unclean animals. And over in the Old Testament and in the New, that is used talking about false teachers and talking about evil workers, talking about people that are in opposition to the gospel. And not only dogs, but even the swine, the pigs are an unclean animal in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Deuteronomy. And even in the New Testament, there's illustrations of a swine. I think of 2 Peter, I think it's chapter number 2. I preached through the epistles of Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter number 2, Peter talks about all those false teachers and all those false workers. And at the end, he says it's like a dog that returns to the vomit and like a sow that returns to the mud, right? And he's talking about those pigs, and he's using that as an analogy of evil workers against enemies of the cross. And so many people believe in this interpretation that's what Jesus is talking about. Possibly even Jesus is talking about those Pharisees. Those Pharisees that were there listening and that were enemies of the cross of Christ, right? These Judaizers that came in, and you can read about in Philippians and in Galatians how that these people would come in and they would try to teach contrary to the gospel truth, and they're related to as dogs, as wolves. And Paul talked about it in the book of Acts. And so there's many people that believe that is what Jesus is talking about here in verse number 6, that he's talking about not casting your pearls before the swine, not giving that which is holy unto the dogs, those that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, right? And so in that interpretation, they would say that this is exemplified in many different situations. I'll give you a couple. And one would be by the Savior himself, right? I do want to say this. I'm going to give you another interpretation here in a moment. I kind of like preaching this way, Pastor. I got everybody sitting on the edge of their seat. I told Brother Dameron this morning, I said, man, I got into this study this week on Matthew chapter 7, verse number 6, and I said, it has just baffled me, and I've spent so much time in it. And I said something about along the lines of, I said, when you come to the service tonight, I said, I may, you know, get up, I can't remember how I said, I may say something, you know, some heresy from the pulpit. And he said, well, the sound man can just cut you off. So if I get too far out of line, Tracy, just cut me off, right? But I'm kind of liking this, because I can just tell everybody's honed in. They're like, what is he going to say, right? I think every week now, I'm just going to come in here and tell you, I'm going to give you something you've never heard before at the end of the message, right? Just hang on till the end, right? And I am going to give you maybe something you haven't heard before, but I do want to give you the classical interpretation, and that is this, that Jesus is teaching that we're not to cast that which is holy. We're not to cast our pearls before the swine, before the dogs, those that are not necessarily unbelievers, but those that are enemies of the gospel. I understand, it's not unbelievers. We know that we're supposed to give the gospel and the kingdom and all that goes along with it to those that are unbelievers, but some believe that it's talking about those that are enemies. You understand what I'm saying? Not unbelievers, enemies to the cross. And I personally believe that regardless of whether Jesus is teaching that truth in this passage of Scripture or not, I do believe that there is a biblical principle in the Bible that is true in that situation. And I'm going to try to give it to you tonight. And they use the example of the Savior. You know, there was many parables that Jesus taught that the Bible says that Jesus says he taught to his disciples in parables because those that were not his disciples, they couldn't understand. You know what I'm talking about, right? Jesus said, I've taught in parables because they that have ears to hear can hear, but they that don't, don't. And so there were times where Jesus would himself, he would give things to his followers that he may not give to someone else. And so the example of the Savior himself, even as Jesus stood before Pilate and Pilate asked Jesus about the truth and asked Jesus, and if you'll recall, Jesus said to Pilate, what is truth?
And then when Jesus went before Herod, Pilate sent Jesus before Herod. And when Jesus went before Herod, Herod began to examine him and began to question him. And I believe it even says that Herod wanted to see his miracles. And the Bible says that Jesus answered him not a word. Because Jesus knew who Herod was. I think he called Herod that old fox. Kind of like a dog, right? Jesus said, Herod, I know who you are. I know, I can discern what type of person you are, and you don't want the truth. You're not looking for truth. And so Jesus did deal with some people in that way. And so that is an appropriate application of this passage of Scripture. Jesus himself is an example of it. I would go beyond just the Savior as an example. I think you could use the saints as an example. Look in Matthew chapter number 10. You're right here. Go to Matthew 10, maybe one or two pages over. Jesus teaching his disciples, and verse number 5, it says, Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And verse 11 says, and into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. And there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Verse 14 says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Kind of sounds like Jesus is saying, there's some people just not going to listen. And when they don't, just shake off the dust from your feet and move on. I think you could go to the book of Acts. I wrote down some verses of Scripture here. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 46, Paul says he shook his raiment. Let's go there real quick. We got time. Acts chapter 13, real quick. Giving you the example of the saints. Acts chapter 13, verse number 6, it says, Acts 13, 46, I'm sorry. Can't read my own handwriting. Verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse number 6. Acts 18, verse 6, it says, talking about Paul again, it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, it says, look at it, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Right? And so we have the example of the Savior in who he is, who he is casting his pearls before, who he's given that which is holy unto. We have the example of the saints. We have his disciples. They went out and Jesus told them, shake the dust off your feet. Paul shook the dust off of his raiment and he went on. And so we have the example of the Savior. We have the example of the saints. Then we have the example of the Scriptures. The book of Proverbs in Proverbs 23 verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Proverbs 9:8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. And so there's many examples in the Bible of people that there's times where we just have to not cast our pearls before them. You with me? Okay, I'm in the Bible here, right? I'm backing everything I'm saying up with Bible, okay? Now, is that what Jesus is teaching here? I don't know. That's what many commentators, that's what many men have said that Jesus is teaching here. And it may be so. You know, sometimes what's on the surface is what's being taught. A lot of people looking at you, Pastor. He's going to come clean it up at the end, all right? It's okay. I can see eyes, boy, they're looking like, man, what's Pastor think about all this, right? He's going to tell you at the end. I already told you he's going to clean the mess up, right? He may give you a third option. I'm going to give you two, right? He may give you a third one. It's okay, right? It's all right. We're all students. We're all students. And the day we think we're not, we're messed up. That's how cults get started, okay? We're just trying to find out what Jesus is saying. And I do believe that that is a truth that can be applied to our lives. And I'll be honest with you, I wrote down here, you know, obviously that doesn't mean that we shouldn't minister to lost people, but it does mean that we should use some discretion. You know, in some ways, what I just taught you can be very liberating. Because if you're like me, there are people in your life that you have tried to witness to. There are people in your life that you have tried to win. There are people in your life that you have tried to live a good testimony before, and they're like dogs. They're like hogs. They just trample all over the truth, and they turn on you. That's what it says. You can go back to Matthew chapter number 7. In verse number 6, it says they trample under their feet. That's talking about the pigs, the swine. They would throw those pearls out, and those pigs would just trample all over it in the mud. And then it says, and they turn again and rend you. I believe that's talking about those dogs, those wild dogs. You throw them that holy sacrifice and that holy. He says you don't cast that which is holy. Most people believe that's talking about the sacrifice that the Jews would use in the temple, and that holy sacrifice, that leftover meat. There was ways that they were to dispose of that meat. They were to give it to the Levitical priests. I believe they were to take it and to burn it, and they were supposed to get rid of it certain ways. And Jesus is saying you wouldn't take that which is holy, that meat that was used in the temple, and you wouldn't toss it to dogs, right? And so they understand. We don't understand what Jesus is teaching here, but these people that were living in Judaism, they understood exactly what Jesus was teaching. He was saying, you don't take those holy things of God, that sacrifice, that meat that was used in the temple, and cast it to the dogs, right? I was thinking about that this week, and I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about how they would dispose of that was used in the temple, and I thought about, how do you dispose of a Bible? Now, that's a real question. It has nothing to do with my message, but I've got about 3 or 4 Bibles at my house that they're falling apart, the pages are falling out, and I'm dead serious. After the service, if you've got a good answer for me, tell me. That's something that's holy. May not be to you, but it is to me. And I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it. I might just carry it. I might tell my wife, just stack them up in the casket with me, right? So my grandma, when she died, they put a bingo dauber in her casket, right? Right? That's my roots. That's where I come from, right? I remember my grandma laying there with bingo daubers in the casket with her, right? Y'all know what a bingo dauber is? That's that thing you know, yeah. Okay, when thou lay me in the casket, line up all my Bibles that I got with me, because I don't want to get rid of them. I don't want to throw them away. I have a hard time. I don't like setting stuff on top of my Bible. At my house, we walk in and my kids set something down on the counter, and if they lay something on top of my Bible, if I'm in the right spirit and I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll walk over and I'll pick it up and put it underneath of it. If I'm not, I might get mad at them. Because this is holy. It's sacred. How do you dispose of it? That's what Jesus is saying to them. How do you dispose of that which is holy? You don't throw it to the dogs, right? And so that's what Jesus is teaching here. And so you know, there are some, I said, all right, I'm getting all over the place. I'm getting to my next point. We're going to be done here in about 5 minutes. And then Pastor, come clean this mess up, right? So that can be very liberating. Because there are people in our lives, they're scorners. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that you don't reprove a scorner, right? There are people that are fools. You know what the fool is, right? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. Someone that says there's no God is a fool. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy word. So there is times in our lives where there may be someone that we're trying to win, someone that we're trying to witness to, and the best thing we can do is walk away. And I know that's contrary to what we as independent Baptists believe. It doesn't mean we give up on them. It just might mean we walk away from them. It might actually move into what we're going to look at next week in verse number, chapter number 7. I'm in Mark. Y'all in Matthew? Look at Matthew. Look at verse number 7. It might mean that we need to walk away and do what he does in verse number 7. You see that? There may be a connection there. He might say, you know what? Don't keep trying to give it to that scorner. Don't keep trying to give it to that mocker. Don't keep trying to give it to that person that's an enemy of the gospel, not an unbeliever. You understand what I'm saying, right? I'm talking about an enemy, someone that is just going to mock and they're going to trample on. It made me think of just this past week. I was thinking about when Pastor and I've told this story before. Pastor and I were in Raising Cane's. It was during COVID. I remember the guy had a mask on. I mean, all I could see was his eyes. He looked like he was a part of the Taliban. But we were down in Charlottesville, and am I okay to say Taliban in church? All right, good night. I can't say nothing about dogs. I can't say nothing about Taliban. I'm just, all right. Well, we were in church, we were in Raising Cane's. That's like, you know, that's church food, right? And so I get it mixed up. You get talking about chicken church, you know, it just kind of gets y'all mixed up. But we were in Raising Cane's, and this guy was in there, and he had his face covered, and me and Pastor were ordering some food. And I remember I walked over to him, and I said, sir, I'd like to share something with you. And I handed him a gospel tract, and I said, it'll tell you the Bible way to get to heaven. And he turned around, and he threw it in the trash can. I mean, he thumped that trash can, went and pushed trash cans, threw it in the trash can. I wanted to trample him under my feet. I was trying to go to my Bible. Does that say that you're to trample them under your feet? And I'm just playing. I mean, I did. My flesh, I just wanted to, you know, a holy smack in the head or something. You know what I'm saying? But you've been there before. And you know what you got to do sometimes? Just walk away. Walk away. You got to pray for them. You know, that may have been you one day. I remember when it was me. I didn't want to hear the gospel. I didn't want to talk to a Christian. Brother Calvin saying, yeah, back I remember Brother Calvin got saved, and I was next door at a friend's house, and Brother Calvin was over next door, and he walked up, and I knew Brother Calvin had got saved, and I was like, let's run. He's going to talk to us about Jesus. Right? You've been there, some of you. And so there is a time where sometimes we just got to walk away. And that may be what Jesus is teaching here. I don't know. That's what many people believe that Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. So that is the classic interpretation. That is the interpretation that is most classic. Now, I could give you a whole lot more. That's just touching a little bit of what some people say that Jesus is teaching. Now I want to give you another one to consider. Okay? So I gave you the interpretation that is the most classic, that most people believe if you were to read after. But now I want to give you one to consider. I struggled with this passage of Scripture so hard this week. And you say, what is there to struggle with, Brother David? It looks so clear because I believe in contextual preaching. I believe that the Bible is to be preached in context. I've heard a lot of great preaching that wasn't Bible preaching. It wasn't in the context of the Scripture. And I don't want to be guilty. I tell you week after week, every week almost that I've preached out of the Sermon on the Mount, I've told you how I have a great desire to preach correctly. Rightly divide the word of truth. What is Jesus teaching? And that may very well be what Jesus is teaching. But in the context of the Scripture, I just struggle with it. It just seems like it's a little out of place. Now, you can find your way. And there's some great men and there's some great minds far greater than mine that have come to a conclusion that they're okay with that interpretation. Now, some of them will even tell you, if you were to read after them or if you were to listen to their message, they'll even tell you, this is a stretch. This is hard. They'll say that it's almost like Jesus just dropped a proverb in the middle of this sermon, and it doesn't really connect itself to anything else. And I just really struggle with that. So I really began to read, and I began to just study and try to find what is the truth that Jesus is teaching. And I want to give you just one truth to consider. What is Jesus talking about here in verse number 6? I'll give you this. I think that if you were to look at it from this angle, if verses 1-5 are connected directly to verse number 6. Okay? So we talked last week about judging. And so I want to connect verse 6 to, to verses 1 through 5. And I want to look at it like this. What if that which is holy is the believer? See, the word holy there, if you look it up in the Greek, that same word is used many times in the New Testament for the saint. We're holy. We've been set apart. We're saints, right? And so if you were to look that up in the Greek, that word holy there in the Greek is the same word that's used numerous times in the New Testament for saint, right? And so it could be that when Jesus says in verse number 6, give not that which is holy, maybe he's talking to the Christian. And I'm going to try to connect the dots here in a minute. I'm not saying this is the interpretation. The way I'm saying it, you're probably thinking, that's what you believe, Brother David. I don't know what I believe. And I'm not above saying that. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'm just being honest as I can be. I glory in being real, okay? That's one thing that I try to glory. I shouldn't glory in anything. I'm sorry. I'm made of flesh, just like you are. It's one thing that I really want to be known as is real. And I'm just being real with you. I'm not sure exactly what's being taught here. But I do think this is something to consider. Jesus, if he's saying that which is holy is the Christian, right? If that which is holy is the Christian, and the pearls, you say, what are the pearls? And the pearls are their good works or their testimony or even the scripture in which they share. So if Jesus was saying that in verse number six, he's saying, give not that which is holy, and he's talking about the Christian unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls, and you can say your good works or your testimony or the things that you do before the swine. I want you to kind of connect the dots here and go back to verse number 5. Look at what Jesus said in verse number 5. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so if Jesus is saying, if you're playing a hypocrite, then you are given the enemies of the cross an opportunity to trample and to tear you to pieces. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to present? I'm not saying that's what it's saying. But if you take what we looked at last week, and if you take that interpretation, I think it's interesting. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 5, still in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 13, do you remember what Jesus said about salt that's lost its savor? He said it's to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Kind of sounds like trampling, right? And so it could be, I'm not saying it is, but it could be that Jesus is saying that if you are judgmental, that's what we talked about last week. I want to kind of go back to last week's message. If you are judging critically, if you are judging presumptuously, right? You don't have all the facts and you're making your own conclusions and you're judging prejudicedly, right? You're basing your judgment on a preference of yours. If you're judging piously like those Pharisees did regularly, they thought they were better than everybody else. Jesus said, if you're being that way, if you're judging, if you're a hypercritical person that's always judging other people, you know, I'm just thinking about now, if you remember the message from last week, I thought about an example of that after I got home last night. How about Job's friends? Remember that? You're talking about presumptuous judgment. Do you remember what his friend said? Job, you've sinned. Job, they came and they just make pass judgment on Job like they knew everything that had happened to Job. And Job said, y'all are miserable comforters. And God rebuked them in the end for it. God said, you don't know what you're talking about. Job was a good man. But just because Job was going through a trial, just because something bad had happened in Job's life, you know what they began to do? They began to get critical in their judgment of Job. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same. And so I talked last week about judging critically, and then we talked about judging cautiously. He said, you be careful how you judge people. And so if Jesus is still kind of carrying that thought in verse number 6, you could see where Jesus, he goes in verse number 5, he says, thou hypocrite. When you're worried about the speck in your brother's eye, the mote in your brother's eye, and you've got a beam, you remember that last week, sticking out of your own eye, he says, you're a hypocrite. And when you're judging people that way, when you're looking at the little things in somebody else's life and ignoring the big things in your own life, you understand? Are you with me? I'm about to finish, okay? I'm about to make application and we're about to be done. But if we're not careful, we can get real judgmental. We can be real critical. And we can look at all the flaws in everybody else's lives. We can look at all the little motes and the splinters and the dust in other people's eyes and look right over top of the beam that's sticking out of our own eye. And Jesus said, when you do that, you're being a hypocrite. That's what he said in verse 5, right? Are you with me? He said, thou hypocrite. And then he goes on in verse number six, and he says, give not that which is holy unto dogs. And so if that which is holy is us, the Christian, their testimony, if you give not that which is holy unto the dogs, the enemies of the cross, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, he said, lest they trample them under their feet and they turn again and rend you. He basically could be saying, and I'm not saying that he is, he could be saying that you are giving the enemies of the cross an opportunity to trample the gospel and to tear you to pieces. So be careful about how you judge people. That could be the context of what Jesus is saying. So the application is be careful how you judge. Right? I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to give the enemies an opportunity to trample under their feet the gospel, right? That's just an interesting. I read one more, and I won't give it to y'all because time's up. And I just kind of got into this one right before I left home, and it was very interesting. And I won't get into that one, but I don't know exactly what Jesus is teaching here, but I think either way, both of these truths can be applied to our lives. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor's going to come. He's going to clean this mess up, all right? So that's what I'm hoping for. Y'all hope for the same, amen? But no, I'll tell you this. I love God's Word. I do. I love God's Word. It is a book that is rich with truth. And there may be some things in this book we just don't ever understand. I hope we get to heaven and the master teacher himself will do as he did on this day. And he'll expound all those things in the scriptures. And I sure am looking forward to it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. And Pastor, I don't even know how to give an invitation, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.